One of the important things that we are going to understand is
we are the sons of God and have a mission. Every child of God, remember, every child of God born into the kingdom of God has a mission. Every one of us who are in the kingdom of God has a mission. Now this mission has to be understood. Now if you and I were to understand the mission that God has for us, we have to go back to Genesis, when God began things for all of us as human beings. Here, God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish, over the sea, and over the fowl of the air. And all this scripture gives, these three scriptures gives the mission God had for us, if you can really understand. These three scriptures here gives the mission in which God put man on the planet Earth. And ever since that man has failed the plan of God, even you and I who are born into the kingdom of God, we are born of the Spirit of God, and then we are given the mission by God. Now if you really look at, I don't know whether you'll be able to understand from here, the mission that God has given to us. The first mission that God has given to us here is, if you can find here, and he says here, let them have dominion. Right? So the dominion is one thing that God expects from us. The second thing was, which was found here, he says, be fruitful. Right? He said for us to be fruitful. Right. Anybody can guess which is the third one? The third one is, again, he said here, replenish. Replenish the earth. You see, I'm doing this today, and in the last couple of Sundays, and also in the last whole year, we are teaching you, because the end time, the second rain, the latter rain, is going to be a teaching rain, because people have been taught the word that they would understand. So we have three important expectations from the Lord. He said to Adam, have dominion, be fruitful, and replenish the earth. Now if you really look at today, the planet Earth, you find there is missing all these three things. The man lost control of everything. Even the most powerful people have no control. The families, the husband doesn't have controls. The societies, society leaders don't have control of their people. The countries, leaders have no control. Even the global leaders have no control. And being fruitful, let us see how we have messed this up as well. When God told to be fruitful, he said fruitful and multiplying. Because the Bible says here, God created man in his own image. So he expected man to absolutely reflect the very nature of God. But what happens is, every fruit that man brings, or the human beings that we bring here, we find so many people, murderers, rapists, liars, thieves, full of them in this world. We have multiplied them, not anybody else. There are plenty of them. We have multiplied numbers, X number of those people in this world today. You go anywhere in the world, it has multiplied. It does not reduce, it has multiplied. So many thieves in this world, so many people who do evil things in this world has multiplied, so there we have messed up that as well. Then God says to replenish, means God, this is where He says to re. When you say redo it, you have to restart again. Because what happens is, if you look at, when in Genesis chapter 1, when God said, when the earth was without form and void, and God says, let there be light, there was light. So in other words, Adam was asked to restart the whole process, replenish, restore the whole thing. That's why he's a re. Because there was a planet earth which was messed up by none other than Lucifer in the time of the previous creation. Because we are the second creation, Adam, and our generation is the second creation from Adam. There was a previous generation which was, the planet earth was controlled by Lucifer, and during his time of fall, he messed up the planet earth. So one of the main important things that God gave Adam was replenish, restart the whole process, put it to order. That was this thing. So what happens here is, this was the mission that God gave Adam. This mission, in other words, we can call another word, another thing called the word that God gave Adam. A mission or a word that God gave Adam to do this. Now, if you really look at all of us, and we fail to understand, you know, now we are many people gathered here. You think only people like who preach have the responsibility or have a mission. But every one of us who are born into the kingdom of God, there's a mission inbuilt every one of us. Now let us begin to understand some important truths on this here. As I told you very clearly, when you understand, when God gave the mission to Adam, this mission was to be fulfilled by Adam, not by himself. It was not to fulfill by, not by himself. Now, you look at here, verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, singular. In the image of God, he created him. Here is singular, he him. And then here we come to this place, says male and female, he created them. It's plural here. First he says God created he him, a singular. And then he ends up here, this first sentence says male and female, he created them. So in other words, when God created Adam, was he one or two? This is a question. When God created Adam, was he one or two? And I think it is something very interesting for us to understand this. Because this is where a lot of traditional Christianity fails to understand the scriptures. Because when God created man, in these portions, he created in the realm of the spirit. He created in the realm of the spirit. Right? He created in the realm of the spirit, and in him was Eve as well. So in Adam, the male and female both was there. Right? Now we know in our individual lives, we have the body, soul and the spirit. So when God created he him, and say male and female, he created them, it was of course one. But in Adam, within him was male and female. And that's why you find in the scriptures, when God gave the commandment, this word to Adam, Eve was in him. Eve was not separated from him. He has not taken Eve out of him. Because God blessed them and said, be fruit, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. So this was spoken to Adam when he was with him. Right? And then, what did God do? If you find the previous scriptures, subsequent scriptures, you find God created a man from the dust. Right? He created man from the dust and he gave a breath of life. When he gave a breath of life, what happened? The Bible says he became living soul. Living soul. He became a living soul. Man became a living soul. Right? So remember, Adam, God created Adam in the realm of the spirit. He is still not created physically. He is in the realm of the spirit. In the realm of the spirit, he was one, and in him was Eve. In him was Eve. And he became a living soul. And then the Bible says, God said in one verse, it is not good that man should be alone. Remember that? It is in Genesis chapter, I think 2 verse 3. Yeah. So it says that God said it is not good that man should be alone. Verse 18, chapter 2, verse 18. And God, Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a help to meet him. Right? Isn't it? I will make him a help to meet him. So, remember these words. Help to man. Because he should not be alone. And then what did God do? He put Adam to sleep. What did he do? He took the female out of him. And then presented to Adam. And what did Adam do? Adam said, Adam looked at this and says, this is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. Right? Bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. And if any man leaves father and mother, what did he say? Become one. He said one. Now, I think this is something which need to be understood. You see, when God created us also, we were in the same way. As a human being, we were in the mind of God. You know, I'm not talking about the people in the world. I'm now talking about the people who are born in the kingdom of God. Every child of God. Every child of God. Because Adam was created, in him was Eve. And Eve was taken out and presented to Adam. Adam said, this is my bone, this is my flesh, shall be one. And when you and I was in the Lord, in the mind of God, always, Bible says we were, God has chosen us before the foundation of the world. Remember? God has chosen us before the foundation of the world. That is why this is very important. This is very, very important. You know, when we Christians, when we look for a partner, it's very important. Because, you know, there is a saying today, people don't know the meaning, says marriages are made in heaven. You know why? Because of this truth. You know, people are saying that, but they don't know the meaning of it. Because when God created Adam, in him was Eve. In him. And then God took him out, took her out, and once again presented. Adam said, this is my bone, this is my flesh. So the soul Every one of us have a soulmate which God will choose in His right time, presented to us to fulfill the mission that God has for us. And that's why sometimes we see particularly men of God, when they don't have the right partner, they can draw them from the ministry and create so much of confusion in his life and his plan that God has for. Because it is very important that God brings the partner to the people whom God has chosen. Because if you have the wrong person, you will not be able to fulfill the mission that God has, because it will be two different directions. So here we find that God separated male and female and presented, but Adam knew who he is. And that's why this aspect of has to be very prayerfully addressed, particularly the men and the women of God. When you are going to have a life partner, you have to make sure that God is in it, because make sure that God brings that person to you. Because you have the wrong partner, that you will have, you won't be able to fulfill the mission that God has for you as a son, as a servant, as an heir to the kingdom of God. So it's God choosing, because it is before the foundation He does that. Now when God told Adam that he has to fulfill this, this is where Adam has fallen, and we know the condition that we are right now in. So when God told Adam, He said He will bring somebody which he need help. Every man of God, because unless you are like Paul, which is given by a gift for you to be alone, particularly people, every man need a woman, every woman who is son of God needs. This is the order of God. Because God presented to Adam, and so are we. He also need that, because it is to fulfill the divine plan of God. So the mission is important for us. Every one of us are given a mission. As a son of God, when you are born, like for instance, Adam was born, Adam was created and given the mission to do this. And so are we. When we are born into the kingdom of God, we are given the mission. And that's why I told last Sunday, when God created Adam, he's a miracle. Because he's a living soul and he became an act of God. So are we. When we are living persons, we are human beings, but we are absolutely a miracle of God. Because there are many possibilities that take place in our life as a human being. As a human being, there are many things that we can do. The other animals can't do. So that's why, you know, we can become great scientists, we can become great authors, we can become great sportsmen, unlike many other people, many other animals in this world. That is why we are a miracle. There are many possibilities as a human being. That's why if you look at a human being, he's an act of God, he's a miracle there. But when you become a son of God, then that becomes a much greater work of God. Let's begin to understand this. So every son of God, every daughter of God, has a mission by God. And Jesus very clearly indicates this by this parable. He said, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling into a far country, who called his own son servant and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one, so you talk about the talents that he has given. So it is when God created Adam, he gave so much of things to him which he never imagined. So every one of us who are the children of God have a particular individual mission. And to do that mission, that God has given so much of God-given talents, apart from the human abilities. And we know the story of these talents. One is given five, one is given two, one is given one. And you can see the one is given five and two goes and doubled their abilities because it is given to them by their Lord. So we find here one person who got one, he went and hid it and didn't do anything about it. And we know what happens at the end of the time. When it was completely come to a place where the Lord returns and he reckons it with the servants and says, what have you done with it? What have you done with your mission that I have given to you? And the last one who didn't do anything about it was said, I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there were thou hast is thine. You know, the Bible says, from the beginning, when God created Adam, he had a mission for Adam. What his mission was to have this planet Earth totally repopulated with people just like him, who is in the image of God, who is in the image of God. But as a result of Adam, did not commit to the mission, fulfill the word. What is the mission that God gives us? One is, mission is the word God gives. First we receive the mission, word. We receive the word like Adam received it. But Adam did not live the word. He did not live the word. First you receive the word. The second you live the word. That means fulfill the mission. Third is to speak the word. To fulfill what God. And that's why God given all the authority to Adam. How will he dominate? How will he dominate the planet Earth? Through the word that he would speak. You see, even today, that you and I have, God has given ability to speak. And it is through that we control things. Even now today, every human being control others by word that they speak. That's the important thing that we do. So what happens here in this parable, the one did not live up to the expectation of the Lord, the two generated the expectations. And that is why the proverb says, particularly when it comes to the children of God, I'm only talking about the children of God. You know, in the world there are so many things are happening. We know there are people in the world, they excel in their own fields. But particularly the mission that God has individually given to us. So that for the ways of a man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondered all his doings. This is an important scripture. Because God provided everything to Adam. He created him in the very image. Nothing better than that he could do. He created in the very image of God. And then he provided him a helpmate. And then he provided everything that he need to fulfill these things. But what happened here was, he has failed to receive this properly, and he has failed to do this properly, and he has failed to all these things. He failed to receive the word, that mission that God given. He failed to leave the mission and speak the mission. And that is what we are going to talk about, how we are going to fulfill the mission that God has given to us. And if you really look at in the children of God, in the Old Testament and the New Testament, how they fulfilled the mission was by the word. They fulfilled the mission. Even Jesus, that's why he was called the word. He fulfilled the mission by the word. He received. He said, I have nothing, but I have received from the Father that I present to you. And that's why he was made the word. Word means the thought in action. Thought in action, that is what the word is. So, first to speak the word was none other than the Lord God Himself. And God says, let there be light, there was light. So you can see that when God, when He wants to bring the earth, the planet earth, without void and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And then the Bible says, God said, let there be light, there was. So you can find that God originated the word. He spoke the word. The light was what was expected. It was not there. It was not there. The light was not there. What was there was darkness. So God spoke the word and said, let there be light. And there was light. And you remember Matthew 8:8, when that person came, centurion came to Jesus, and he told him, what did he say? He says, Lord, speak the word, my servant shall be healed. What did he say? He says, I am a man of authority. I am a centurion. I have so many people. I say go, they go. I say come, they come. I say do, sit down, they sit. What do? He speak the word. He says, I have authority, it is given to me, it is delegated authority, and therefore I speak it, and it happens. And then he told the Lord, Lord, you also speak the word, I am sure it will happen. And God, Jesus was amazed. And look at Jesus. He rose and rebuked the wind and says unto the sea, peace be still. He spoke what was expected. He spoke it and it happened. Right? He spoke and it happened. And then again Jesus say, ye might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou be plucked and by the root and be planted in the sea, it should obey you. He said, you say. So what happened was, Adam was to receive it properly from the Lord. It was very clear to us. We heard it properly. We heard it properly what Adam was, what God told Adam. Adam knew it. Because Adam has awesome amount of wisdom which is given to him. That is why even he was fallen, even though he was fallen, a certain amount of the wisdom and knowledge that was given to Adam was able to pass to his son Seth. And that's why Seth's children were called the sons of God. They were called the sons of God because they had the knowledge of God. So therefore Adam had that knowledge, though he was fallen. Imagine if he has not fallen, the enormous knowledge of God that he would have had. So he received, he was very clearly given by the Lord the mission or the word, and there is no doubts about it. Adam knew it, but he could not properly receive because his soulmate, the soulmate, heard something else from someone else. She heard something else from someone else and then could not fulfill. And that's why very important, brothers and sisters, if you are married and if you are going to get married, that this is very important. That we support, your partner support you in the mission that God has for you. Otherwise, it's going to be very difficult for a person to fulfill the mission that God has. And also because you will want to go this way, she will want to go this way. And you will go nowhere in the expectations of the Lord has for you. So anyway, coming back here, What? So God spoke the word. So when Jesus came, He also spoke the word. He spoke nothing but the word that God has given to Him. Every time when He preached good news, it is the word. Because He was the word made flesh, He was a thought. Because when God had Adam, when he was given, because Jesus, when he comes, when he is going to rule, he is going to fulfill these things. He is going to have total dominion, because he is going to be King of Kings, ruling not with a shepherdic rod, but the rod of iron, the Bible says. He is going to have full. And there would be people who would have the image, they would bring forth the fruit of righteousness. The fruit of righteousness would be there on all our, we're fruitful with them. And this planet earth, which is polluted by so many pollutions, would be replenished during the 1,000 years. It would be restored by the Lord. So He spoke the word. And He also told, you speak the word. And every time you find the apostles, they also began to speak the word. Right? But I want to tell you about a man who did a mighty thing. No man in the planet earth has been able to replicate it. There was this man. You know, today we talk about great people. Great successful people. Great men in the history who have conquered the world, who have done great innovations, scientific as well as many innovations who have found. But this man has done something by speaking the word. Nobody in this planet earth has been able to replicate it. Nobody was able to replicate it. Who is that? What did he do? In Joshua chapter 10. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites and before the children of Israel, and said in his sight, Sun, stand thou still upon the Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalah. And the sun stood still and the moon stayed until the people have avenged themselves upon the enemies. Now this is not a fairy story. This is actual thing happened. If you go to NASA, they will give the evidence of this. They will give the evidence, because scientists have gone back the history of the planet Earth, the history, and they found there are certain 12 to 14 hours or missing, and they cannot find. And they say, this is this. So what did he do? Joshua looked at the sun and said, Sun, be still. Has any man had replicated that? Either Alexander the Great or people, you know, dead and gone. Even so many scientists or Bill Gates, they are with their innovation, they can't do. Who can stop the sun? Here is a man who spoke when he was under the authority of God. He spoke to the sun and said, Sun, be still. Imagine the potential that the people like you and I have. Now see, Joshua is not a god. He's a man. He's a man like you and me. But when he came, that's what I'm saying. As a human being, we have so much of energy in us. As a normal human being. That's why most of the human beings excel in so many good things and bad things. They excel. Because so much of energy is there. But when you are coming to the realm of God, when you come to the very protective and very divine realm of God, there are many possibilities that can take place in your life and in my life. By the virtue of the word that we speak. So Joshua spoke the word and he said to the sun, be still. And that's why you find in the life of Jesus, Jesus always spoke the word. Whatever thing he performed, he spoke the word. He told Lazarus, come forth. He spoke the word. So therefore, very, very clearly, there is power in the word we speak. Even naturally there is power. But when the word is enclosed in the power of God, under the realm of God, then there are many possibilities. You see, we are yet to see many Joshuas today, because imagine the possibilities that can have happen for us when we use the word rightfully. The Jewish tradition views the word as a tangible. The Hebrew term for the word is divyam, which also means extremely powerful thing. The Jews understood this very clearly. You know, they knew very clearly what is the meaning. It's called divyam, which means a very powerful thing. That's why these Jewish people are very particular on what they speak. We of course speak very casually in everything. We very loosely talk. The word that we speak may seem obvious, but fact that most of us most of the time use them lightly. You see, we aimlessly, without this thing, we choose the words. We choose our clothes more carefully than we choose our words. You know, we are very careful to choose our clothes, no? What is matching, you know, shoes, tie, everything we choose very carefully. But what happens here is, but when it comes to the word, we are very loose. Because we don't understand the power of it. But when the Jewish people absolutely knew the power of it, because in the Old Testament, you find Moses spoke the word. Every man of God spoke. The Bible says the word came to the prophet, prophet spoke. And they knew the what authority in the word. Whereas we don't understand this. That's why they feel in Hebrew term it's called divyam, which also means extreme. It's, they think it's a tangible thing, the word that we speak, though we can see. So God has given us power to create through the word we speak, like God created everything through the word. So God has given us, like He gave the Adam. He gave Adam the word, and he was to use the word to dominate, to be fruitful and replenish. Because Adam was to tell his wife about the time of life to be fruitful, and he was to restore everything, but he fails receiving this word. He failed to leave the word, because if he leave the word, he would have been fruitful with the people who have the image of God. Instead of, you would have Cain coming into the scene, he would have never had a person like Cain in the scene if he had been rightfully been fruitful. And if he have, because he had failed to speak the word, he would fail to replenish the earth in the rightful manner that God expect. So God has given us power as the children of God. Remember, I'm not talking about the people in the world. Let them talk very loosely. Let them talk aimlessly. But we who are the children of the living God, God has given us His mission, His word to us. We are, remember, last Sunday I said, we are not born of incorruptible. We are not born of the corruptible. Incorruptible seed, which is the word. Incorruptible word. Seed means the word. We are born of the incorruptible word. That's what given us the birth. We receive it. So there is, therefore God has given us power to create through the word we speak. Like God, we have to bring everything. And that's why we have to be very carefully choose the words that we carefully choose the words. In fact, this morning when I was preparing and I prepared everything, and there is a small calendar-like thing I have on my table at my room, and so it's on a, every day there's a particular saying, and today's saying was this. This should be breath. Breath becoming speech through teeth and tongue. The spirit becoming word. Silence becoming prayer. The holy dream becoming the holy face. And it was absolutely a confirmation what the Lord wants us to share today. So what happens is the breath becoming speech through teeth and tongue. And the spirit becoming the word. The silence becoming a prayer. And the holy dream becoming a holy face. Remember, He made us a living. He said, He gave breath of life and we became a living soul. Right? When a person is born into this world, what is the indication that he is a living soul? When a child is born, if he doesn't shout, there is something wrong with the child. We are worried. If the child does not cry, we are worried. Parents are worried. The child born into this world with a shout, isn't it? The child born into this world with a shout, with a cry, with a sound. So when we are born of God, that God planted in our heart a word of the Lord, the word that we can speak. And that word God gives us is creative word. Is a word that creates things. Is word that would really, a word of the Lord always is creative word. When God speaks, is also creative. His creative word. Because when Jesus spoke, He created things. And then when you and I speak, we have to be careful in what we speak. This is where we have the problem. Instead of we are being creative, you know, words that we speak can be creative words or destructive words. We can speak creative words or destructive. So this is where we as the children of God have to see where we stand. In Proverbs chapter 25, verse 11 says, the word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a picture of silver. 25:11 Proverbs. It says, the word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a picture of silver. I have not seen something like that. It says, apples of gold in a picture of silver. You can imagine how it would be. He says, the word fitly speaking, that means there are words that we need to speak in the right way. Then he says, he that speaketh the truth showeth forth righteousness, but the false witness is deceit. 15:1 A soft answer turneth away wrath, but the grievous words stir up the anger. Again, the power of the words. And a man has joy by the answer of his mouth. And the word spoken in due season, how good it is. The word spoken in due season, how good it is. Our example is the Lord Jesus Christ. When He spoke things all the time. 15:23 A man has joy by the answer of his mouth. 15:26 A thought of the wicked are abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant. The thoughts of the wicked are abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant. So in other words, you see, if you look at the Bible, from the Genesis to Revelation, I have selected few scriptures, but if I were to select the whole thing, and like we can talk for the couple of days. So I have selected few important ones. The emphasis God put on the word that we speak. Because we know, He know that this word, as a child of God, as a son of God, as a son of God, who are born of God by His word. We are born by His word. The Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing of the word. So we are born of the incorruptible word, or the seed, by the Spirit. So when we are born of the word, that is why the word that we speak is very material to God as well as to everybody else around us. I'm not saying that we can't speak, we can't just keep like a dumb person. No. But I want to tell you this. If you look at some people who are very careful in choosing their words than many, particularly the Jewish community. If you happen to know people like that, you will see they are very careful in speaking the word, because they know it's going to be really create various, if spoken negatively, can have a lot of impact. The words of a man's mouth, spelling mistake here, are as deep waters, and the wellspring of wisdom as flowing brook. The words of man's mouth, so see the things that the Bible talks about. The words of man's mouth as deep waters and wellspring of wisdom as flowing brook. And what did David says? Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my Redeemer. Let the words of my mouth. Now Sami says, let the words of my mouth. Now we sing this chorus in worship. But the Sami says, let the words of my mouth be acceptable thee in thy sight, O Lord, my strength, my Redeemer. And that's why Jesus said this in Matthew 12:36. But I say unto you that every idle word that men speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. You think Jesus just said this fun of it? No. Because He know the impact of the word that we speak. He definitely know the impact of the word that we speak. That is why Jesus also put emphasis on this aspect. Because He knew in the beginning that Adam could not speak the word properly. He knew everything, but he could not speak and create things what God expect him to do. So that's why we find here Jesus put same emphasis in the olden day prophets. Look at these verses. Verse Proverbs 18:2. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and that love it shall be eat the fruit thereof. Death and life in the power of tongue. That's why I say the Jewish community, unlike we who are Christians, are very careful in choosing the words and speaking the word. Because it says death and life are in the power of tongue, and they that love it shall. And 21:23 says, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from trouble. In other words, putting your two cents to everything. You know, we call two cents, no? Putting your two cents to everything that is you hear. He says, whoso keepeth his mouth and tongue keepeth his soul from trouble. Speak not the ears of a fool, he will despise the wisdom of thy words. See this. 29:20. Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than him. You know, a lot of people eager to talk, you know, all the time. They don't allow other person to talk. They want, you know, all the time they want to speak. They won't permit anybody else to speak. But here he says, seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There is more hope of a fool than of him. The words of a man's mouth are as deep waters and wellspring of wisdom as flowing brook. Again the Bible says. Then comes, again that I found this from Jewish writings, about the words that hurt. This story I found from that book. It says, in a small Eastern European town, a man went through a community, slandering a rabbi. One day, feeling suddenly remorseful, he begged rabbi for forgiveness and offered to undergo any penance to make amends. The rabbi told him to take a feather pillow from his home, cut it open and scatter the feathers to the wind. Then return, see him. The man did as he was told, then came to rabbi and asked him, "Am I now forgiven?" "Almost," came the response. "You just have to do one thing, go and gather all the feathers." "But that is impossible," man protested. "They have already scattered them." "Precisely," the rabbi answered. "Although you truly wish to correct the evil you have done, it is impossible to repair the damage done by your words as it is to recover the feathers." Look at this story. This man has slandered, spoken evil of this rabbi, evil, and gone to town speaking evil about it. And one day he found, okay, he had done wrong. So he has gone to rabbi and said, "Look, I'm sorry. How can I correct it?" And then only he has told, "Okay, you take the pillar of feathers, break open, cut it and scatter them in the wind." And then he has told the man, "You have now gone and collect them." Man said, "Impossible." That's with our words. When you speak, particularly when you slander people, when you speak ill of people, when you speak wrong things about people, don't think a minute. Think for a moment whether you will have to withdraw it, whether you have to withdraw one day what you have said. And it is not possible. We have already spoken. You see, the word that was gone from the mouth, it's not possible to take it back. Anything is possible. Anything else? If you hit somebody, you can probably, you know, do something and take him to doctors and get him, you know, recovered. You can hit his car or burn his house. You can buy a house. You can do many things with that. But here he says, if you speak the word that hurt people, it's not possible to correct it. So brothers and sisters, be careful. We have 2008. Then I believe that you and I can choose our words much more carefully. And particularly, be careful not to talk ill of people, because that is expected by the Lord. God is not expecting you and me to speak ill of people, slander people, slander their lives. And that's something God does not, I don't think God is happy with us if we do this. And I think this particular small story should hit all of us. It really hit me when I first read it. It gave so much of regret to me on some of the words that I have spoken against some people. Some evil things or wrong things I have spoken against. And I was thinking, I shouldn't have spoken that. I shouldn't have said this. But now it's gone. I can't go after it. It is gone. It's like feathers gone in the wind. It's gone after it. So you and I cannot correct it. So therefore, I'm not telling, the Lord is not telling any one of us to keep my mouth, put a padlock and keep. No, he's not telling that. He's telling, like you choose your dresses, like you choose your shoes and slippers, your trousers and shirts, skirts and blouses, all these things, look at the words. He has given you the ability to speak. and he has given it to you, and I think that's the creative power in that. And if there is a creative power, there is also possibility of destructive power in that, which is negatively can have an impact on people, because it's very, very important that you speak the word that would not hurt, that would heal people. You see, even healing is a word that is spoken. You know, you speak the healing to people. You speak the good things to people. You know, we are not healers. It is the Lord that heals us. Remember that very carefully. But when the word comes to us, we speak the healing word. We speak and says, be healed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you speak the healing. You speak the many things that will heal not only physically, but evenly, mentally, as well as spiritually. That's what we need to do. That's why Jesus said very carefully here, not that which goes out of mouth defiles a man, but that which comes out of the mouth. That's what I say. How much emphasis God, as well as the Lord Jesus Christ, has put on the word that we speak. Here he says, not that which goes into the mouth that defiles a man, that which come out. Do not ye understand, whatsoever enter into the mouth, goeth into the belly, and it is cast into the ground. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murderers, adulterers, fornication, theft, false witness, blasphemies. These are things which defiles a man. Now Jesus said that. Not a human being said that, but Jesus says, it is okay to wash your hands. You can be religious. We can come here. We can be very pious. We can read. We can worship. But let us be careful on the words we speak, because we have a particularly a time where God is expecting His bride to be. I remember I told you this. Jesus was Word made flesh. Jesus was Word made flesh. And His bride, we are in the flesh. We are right now in the flesh. We receive the Word. What we receive from the Bible is written Word. We receive the word like the caterpillar. I told you the story of the caterpillar. The caterpillar, you see the caterpillar, he has a leaf. He is like this. He eats this leaf fully, and when this leaf fully eaten, there's nothing left. He has to eat this leaf fully, and then he hangs like this after eating the full leaf. Right? After eating the full leaf. Because once the egg is broken, a particular leaf he is seen, he eats that. Once he eaten, he hangs on that like this. And while what is eaten create a transformation. It's eaten create a transformation. And if you look at, I saw this once on the National Geography in the TV. I think if you can get hold of this somewhere, I know if whoever has this, how from a caterpillar butterfly comes. You know how from the where the wings come from? Wings come from the mouth. Wings come like a liquid form and covers him. It comes from the mouth. It comes from the mouth and covers his whole body. And then he is fully covered now. Until he is there for some time. Until the sun rises. Create a condition. The gum melts and the wings open up. Right? And when the wings open up, he has the solar panels in these things. And when the sunlight is strong, the sun gives power, then he goes. Now this is exactly what is going to happen to the bride. Bride receives the word. He eats this. What did Bible says? Last Sunday I says. Sunday before I says. He said, John, angel said to the John, take the book and eat it. Didn't it say? Take the book and eat it. He said, it shall be sweet in your mouth, bitter in your belly. Yes. That's what in book of Revelation, the angel told the John. Take the book from the lamb that is sit on the throne. Take it and eat it. It shall be sweet in your mouth and bitter in your belly. So the bride is going to be in the flesh now. We are going to be a word bride, because it is what God has given the word. He expects the word. Leviticus 19:16. Thou shalt not go up and down as a slant talebearer among thy people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt not anyways rebuke thy neighbor, not suffer sin upon them. Thou shalt not avenge or not bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor. Most important reason that we gossip is to raise our status through lowering our status, lowering the status of others. The most important reason that we gossip is to raise our status and lower the status of the others. This also statement I found from the same Jewish people readings. James 3:2. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, same is a perfect man. James says, if any man offend not in word, same is a perfect man. That's why Jesus told us, be perfect even as I am perfect. The man is able to bridle his whole body. If he is not offended, he said he is being whole body under control. Behold, we put bits in horses' mouth, and they may be obey us and turn about their whole body. Behold, also the ships which through they we sought be great and driven fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm, whichsoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, boasteth great things. Behold, how great the matter a little fire kindleth. Now I don't have to re-emphasize this. This is the word spoken by James. He says small, but he says a little member boasteth great things. Behold, how great the matter of little fire kindleth. The tongue is a fire, that world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that defile the whole body. It defiles the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. You see, it's fire from hell comes to the tongue. You can stand here and burn something in New York. You know, stand in Colombo, burn something in Ratnapura or somewhere else. You stand here, you do the burning there. That's the power of the tongue. You know, that's what happened to many people in this country. They, you know, somebody says, you know, something happened in there, people run, you know. This country is, you know, very negatively driven, very negatively spoken. People of this nation hear negative things all the time. That is why people are like this. The papers, the media, everything speak the negative things. That's why people are listening. They love to hear negative things. They love to hear something going wrong somewhere. You know, that's the way. So it's always happened to them the way it is. Every kind of beast and the birds of the serpents of the sea is tame and tame of mankind. but the tongue no man can tame, and it is unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith we bless God, even the Father, and therewith we curse men, which are made after the similitude of man. Now remember, James is not talking to the world, he is talking to the church. He says, therewith we bless God, even the Father, and therewith we curse men, which are made after the similitude of God. Now, why we are speaking like this? Because this is going to be very important for us in the coming days, particularly the coming years. Because God wants us to speak a creative word than destructive word. The words that will heal than words that hurts. That's what God wants us to speak. Out of the same mouth proceed the blessing and the cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be. Now again he's talking not to the world, he's talking to the church. Out of the same mouth proceed the blessing and the cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Can a fountain send forth the same place sweet water and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, again James is very lovingly telling, my brethren, bear olive berries, either vine figs? So no fountain both yield salt water and fresh water. Who is a wise man, endureth knowledge among you? Let him show out of good conversation his works with the meekness of wisdom. So he is telling that about a good conversation of his works. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to breath. If any among you seems to be religious, and bridle not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. If any man among you seems to be religious, cannot properly manage the tongue, deceiveth his own heart. Speak not evil one another, brethren. Either speak evil of his brother, judgeth his brother, speaketh evil of the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. I think we have read the scriptures over and over again, but it has not hit all of us. But I am telling you these words today, because if we are the chosen children of God, God is expecting you and me to fulfill his mission. Every one of us have a mission. And if we cannot fulfill the mission that God has given, if we are not going to fulfill, we are going to fulfill this, we have to say bye to this and begin to focus on this aspect of creative words, speak the creative words. Word that heals, and words that will really enable us to grow in the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember these two people in the book of Esther, Haman, badmouth Jews, and Mordecai. In turn, he went to gallows in place of Mordecai. He went and told the king, these people are doing these things. They are, you know, very bad. They are really, you know, not worshipping. They are not going against you. And he prepared a gallows for Mordecai. And finally, he and his family went in there. There are some people who spoke against Daniel and said, Daniel is doing these things. And then finally, the lion's den, the animal was fought, those people and their families went in. So remember, when you speak evil of people, that words will come back on you. If it is not really intended by you correctly. You know, that doesn't mean that we have to correct people. In the Christian faith, we have to correct people. We have to say what is right, what is wrong. But what happens is deliberate slandering, deliberate speaking evil of people is not what God expects from you and me. And that's where we need to be careful. Role of accusing. For accuse of our brethren is cast down, which accuse them before our Lord day and night. You know, a lot of people accuse people all the time, no? Whether rightfully or wrongfully. So Satan is the accuser of the brethren. That's the role he plays. You remember, he came to Job, God, and says, you know, Job, you are taking care of him. You know, he accused God. Satan accused God being overprotective of Job and said Job would be surely curse God and die. So when you accuse people without really knowing the full story, I think you are really playing the role of the main deceiver of the brethren, who is the accuser of the brethren. Last Sunday, I spoke to you on this subject, on the aspect of repentance. The repentance is important for us. You remember, Adam, he could not repent. But God has given us opportunity to repent. He has given us opportunity to repent. The Hebrew word for repentance is teshuva. But this actual Hebrew root is come from the return. Teshuva is returning to the point before the darkness was created. It also means the process of return to remove the darkness, but also change it to light. There are different meanings of this particular word, teshuva, but the repentance, the original root is return. Return means, you know, we would like to return back, you know, after speaking a word, we feel that we should have been, this word shouldn't have spoken. We shouldn't have spoken this. We should feel that we need to come back to this position. And that's why that God has given us an opportunity to repent. The repentance, of course, as I told you last Sunday, is a costly affair. Repentance is a costly affair. I told you very clearly that is indeed a costly affair. But repentance means that God forgives us when we repent. And the love of God pours into us. And then we also have the ability to forgive others. But the for us to repent, it involves us returning. Returning to the place when it was not done. Particularly when it comes to the words, speaking the words. How many times you and I have felt, after getting angry and speaking some horrid words on people, I shouldn't have spoken. You always felt that you should have done better, you should have been in this position than this. You feel that. You need to return to this position. So brothers and sisters, you and I have this wonderful opportunity. God has created us a repentance. And I want to tell you tonight that if you and I have spoken ill of people, spoken accusing people, spoken words that has hurt people, now we have to return to the place where we don't speak like that again, particularly in the years ahead. If God has forgiven, there is power in the forgiveness. That's why we are born of God. Then we forgive others, the power from us flow to others, they are also forgiven. And the need for forgiveness is repentance. So we come to the point of return. Adam, imagine after he fell from that, Adam would have dreamt for many times, I should have been here, not here. And he couldn't return. He could never return to the original place where he was. When God he has access to the realm of God, where he could access to speak to God like he spoke to him face to face. He had access to the knowledge and he has full control of things. He was dreaming to come to this returning point. So the repentance really is, we return back to this beginning. So by God's grace, God has now given us an opportunity for you and me to return. By virtue of the love of God that He has bestowed upon us. Through that love, that God gave an opportunity to obtain forgiveness. Obtaining forgiveness is obtaining the power of God. You know, obtaining forgiveness is obtaining power of God. And when you obtain God's power, with the forgiveness come the power. Because God's love, the nature of God's love is forgiveness. And with that, God brings us to the place where Adam was in the beginning. Because Jesus in Christ, who is the second Adam, in Christ, the Bible says, we are seated in heavenly places. The Bible says, because we are seated in the heavenly places in Christ. We are not seated in worldly places, we are seated in heavenly places. Because Jesus has given us an opportunity to return to the original status. And now we are seated in the heavenly places. One of the things, when you are seated in heavenly places, what happens? Have you seated in a grandstand in some place? You know, grandstand in the highest position of a, you know, is it a race course or it's a balcony or no? It's a grandstand. So you can see everything more clearly. You can see a big picture. You can have a panoramic view. So when you are seated in heavenly places, God enabled me and you, like He enabled in the beginning Adam, to see the things of the kingdom. When you see the things of the kingdom, also you begin to hear when God originally spoke the word to him. God spoke the word, and therefore when you are seated in heavenly places, when you come back to the point where God expects Adam was, you are beginning to hear the word of the living God. You hear it, because many people are not hearing it. And that's why Paul says, if you have heard, harden not your heart. If we have heard the voice of God, He says, harden not your heart. It is possible to harden your heart also. But if you are seated in heavenly places, God shows you the things of the kingdom very clearly, very vividly than anybody else. It is more than coming to a service, more than reading a Bible, more than praying, you begin to see the things that God has prepared for you. Because the Bible says, the eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard. But when you are seated in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, God let you see the big picture, see things that God wants you to see, like Adam failed to see at that day. Brothers and sisters, if you want to have come to that position, we need to make sure that God has really taken us a new beginning. Sometimes we do things that really cause harm to other people. And sometimes it is only later we realize harm we have created. God has by His mercy provided us a way through great price He paid by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Through the love of God we have now means eliminating darkness that we have brought about. What God did was, when there was darkness upon the planet earth, there was darkness in the deep, the Bible says. It is void. And God says, let there be light. And there was light. So our lives were like that. Full of darkness. Full of remorse. Full of wickedness. Full of sin. But Jesus spoke the light to us. And He spoke the word to us. And we are now here. We have returned to the point where God has now eliminated darkness that Adam brought. And therefore, brothers and sisters, the mission that God has given to us is, you are seated in heavenly places. You receive the word. You receive the word, you live the word. Because, as the Bible says, we who are the bride of Christ, live by the word. Because Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone. Every word that proceed out of the mouth of God. So our life sustenance come from the word, like the caterpillar. Jesus said, not the word that I speak, they are spirit, they are life. That's why he says, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceed out of the mouth of God. So our life once again come from the word. We receive, and brothers and sisters, then finally, our mission is to speak the word. To speak the word that heals people. Speak the word that will strengthen people. Speak the word that will create, not disturb, not destructive. But speak the word where God has created life in us. And if we can speak that word, truly we are the sons of God. God speaks, so his sons are speaking. God says, let there be light. Jesus says, say unto this mountain, say unto this sycamore tree. So, it's possible for you and me to speak the creative word, because we are made in the image of the Creator, and that's why we have the creative words. That day, Moses told, choose you this day. Therefore, this morning, this evening, I tell you, choose your words, particularly when you have very important things designed by God, and also in the coming year. Brothers and sisters, we have heard the power of forgiveness. Now we have heard the power of the words that God has given to us, where we can make speak things and things can happen. And I believe in the coming year, you need more words that God has given to you to speak, and many things can happen. Let's pray. As we spend few moments before the Lord, I believe the Lord has given this wonderful opportunity for you and me, for us to return to the status where Adam was. And that status is nothing but the status that God fully desired for you and me. And if you and I feel right now that we are like that man who accused that rabbi, slandered people, accused people, spoke ill of people, through our words we have destroyed people, we have killed people, we have eliminated people, we have lowered down their standards, we have made good people murderers, we have people make good people adulterers. Brothers and sisters, God forgives us. You and I can return to that point. Return to the point so that we can have light coming to us. But remember, now onwards, like when you choose your shirt in the morning, when you choose your dresses, remember the words that you are going to speak today, every day. Whether it's going to be a creative words, words that will heal people, words that will uplift people. By the words that you will speak, people are going to judge you whether you are a son of God or a daughter of God, fulfilling the plan of God.
He is my everything.
Let's stand to our feet.
He is my all. He is my everything, both great and small. He gave his life for me, made everything new. He is my everything, none other will do. You are my
once more.
You are my everything. You are my all. You are my everything, both great and small. You gave your life for me, made everything.
Praise the Lord. We praise your holy name, Father. We thank you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Father. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us tonight. Let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable to you too. The words that you have given to us, help us to bring that word to people and reflect your nature of a creator as creating things for things of the kingdom, Father. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, these words will accomplish its purpose, Father. In Jesus' name. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be upon every one of us. May His presence go before us, behind us. May He keep us as the apple of His eye, hide us under the shadow of His wings. May He let His face shine upon us and make us overcomers all the time. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Next Sunday we have Holy Communion and we also have little fellowship. So looking forward to see you. God bless you.